Hello everybody, it's John and I'm talking to Brian Hodgkinson, and he, quite by chance, saw an advert in the Yorkshire Post some time ago, and he followed it up because it just tickled his fancy, and he is sitting now looking at a book which is quite remarkable. It's beautifully produced, and he followed this advert and it's led to him getting this book, which I think you might find the story behind it quite interesting. I hope so. Let's here we go. So over to you, Brian. What was this advert all
thank
about?
Thank you, John. Well, it wasn't really an advert. It was an article. In the Saturday, the Yorkshire Post does a magazine, like most papers do on a Saturday. And there was this article about a couple who live in...
Brough, is it?
Just near Brough, yeah, in East Yorkshire. And they were, it was Tony and Elsie Huntington, and they were members of the Yorkshire, what do they call themselves, Yorkshire Historic Cycle Club, and they ride and collect old bikes. And this, in this article, this Elsie said that she got some three diaries of the ABC Cycling Club of 1881, 82 and 83. And she got these diaries, which she bought because she wanted them to stay in Yorkshire. She thought if they went for auction, like some other diaries like this had done, they could even go out of the country. So she bought these, and she said that she had this ambition to reproduce them, which she'd now done, and so she got an email address if anyone was interested in buying one of these books where she copied the diaries, to contact her. So I thought these could be quite interesting, so I contacted her, and to cut a long story short, I decided I'd buy one of these books. She'd only had 100 printed. It came to nearly 500 pages because there were three diaries, but she put them all into one book, which she's done a beautiful job of. It's on proper, decent art paper, and they haven't been reset. They've all been just copied. She took the diaries apart so they could be scanned and copied. And now she's in the process of having the diaries put back together again, so they're in their original form. The diaries are of students who were at the Ackworth School in Yorkshire, which was founded in 1779 to educate Quaker boys, and it exists today as a co-ed boarding school for pupils from diverse backgrounds. So, after contacting Elsie, I arranged to go over and see her. They lived near Brough, which is near Hull, and I said that I would go over by train to buy one of these books. So I go over by train, and she agreed to meet me at Brough station, and she said that she'd take me to their house and I could look at the book and I could look at all their cycles that they have. And this turned out to be one of the most amazing days I've ever had. She met me at the station, we went to their house, which is about 9 miles away from Brough, and we had a cup of tea and looked at the book, and I was really pleased with the book, because this book wasn't cheap, and I didn't want to buy it if it wasn't what I thought it was, but it is a beautifully produced book. So after we'd had a cup of tea, her husband, who he rides penny farthings, but you haven't to call them penny farthings, they're either high wheelers or ordinaries, and he rides those, but he also has a collection of early Rover bikes, which I didn't know, but Rover started making cycles before they made cars. Anyway, he took me into his outbuildings in the house, and he was a metalwork teacher originally when he was working. He's now, I think he's in about his 80s, and his wife, I think, was 76. They both still ride bikes every day. He used to ride the sort of the penny farthings mainly, but now as he's getting older, he's finding it harder to get on the bike. But they ride the sort of the what we call safety cycle, which was the advancement when chains and gears came along and you could have a bike with two wheels the same size. And so we went into his outbuildings, and he just got an amazing, well, he had an old Land Rover and an old Rover car, which were covered, the car was covered in blankets and a tarpaulin, but he said it still ran, and they do take it to meets and things.
To events, yeah.
Leaning against that was about four or five of these high-wheeler bikes. These weren't Rover bikes, these were just high-wheelers. I don't know who made these, and don't know much about them, but he showed me them, and then he said, right, we'll go up into the loft and I'll show you my collection of Rover bikes. And we went up into the loft, and I counted on one side of the loft, there was 10 bikes, so I assumed there was another 10 on the other side of the loft. So there must have been at least 20 bikes up there, and they were all old Rover bikes. They all had a little label with their date, when they were made and what they were, and what. And this was just amazing. There must have been thousands of pounds worth of bikes up there. Then they'd said that they'd give me lunch, so his wife came calling, because I think once he gets on bikes, he'd have been there all day. So she had to come and call us to say that lunch were ready.
Right, yeah.
So we were having lunch, chatting about cycling and bikes, and he did say one thing that surprised me. He said he had never ridden a bike with derailleur gears.
All right.
No, he'd always rode these old bikes. And they still ride them now. His wife has an old Rover bike, and she rides it every day, just perhaps to the shop and that sort of thing. And I also mentioned that my oldest bike was only about 1980s, and that I'd converted that into a fixed wheel bike, which he sort of, oh, do you ride fixed wheel? And I said, yeah, I've got one. I do ride it occasionally. All right, he said, so that were left at that. And then he said, his wife said, well, you'll have to go look at the others now in the front room. So we went through into the front room, which had more bikes in it than it had furniture or anything else. And these again were Rover bikes, but they were the ones that they ride sort of every day and take on events and things like that. And so he was telling me all about these bikes and showing me these. And then he said, right, which one do you want to ride? And I was a bit taken aback with that, because I've got these old bikes and worth money. And he said, which one? Well, with them being fixed gear bikes, the way to get on those in them days was that they had like a little step at the back. And you stepped on the step, and then you scooted the bike forward to get it going, and then you jumped onto the saddle. And then you could get your feet on the pedals, so that, because it's a fixed wheel bike, you're pedalling all the time.
There's no free wheel.
Yeah. So I picked the smallest looking one, because I thought that might be easier to get on than some of the others. Yeah. And off we set for a little ride round the village, which was amazing, really. He was in the lead, and he was flying off. He was also on a Rover bike, not one of his high wheeler bikes. With a little ride, probably a couple of miles, just round the village.
Yeah.
As we were riding through the village, and he said, "Oh, this is one of the oldest churches in East Yorkshire as well." He said, "Are you interested in churches?" And I said, "Well, yeah," I said, "usually I pop my head in a church if I am somewhere and the church is open." "Right, I'll take you up the tower next then," he said.
Yeah.
So when we got back from our ride, before we went to the church, he said, right, I'll show you how to get onto a high wheeler. So he brought one out and propped it up at the side of his garage.
Yeah.
And again, to get on the high wheelers, they have a little step at the back. And you stand on the step and then you scoot yourself along to get the bike going.
Yeah.
And then you leap up and into the saddle. And he said, we won't ride them. He says, well, I'll show you how you get on. So he showed me how to get on. So then he said, right, you have a go now.
Yeah.
So I did. I got on this bike just leaning against the garage. But it did feel a bit strange being so high.
So high, yeah.
Yeah.
So what sort of height will you be when you're sitting on the saddle? 6 foot?
You must be at least 6 foot.
Yeah.
In fact, you'll be more than 6 foot with your own height
as well.
With your
own height, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you fall off one of those, it's a long way to fall.
And from reading these diaries that I've now got, they did quite a bit of falling off. Yes. but I suppose they were all under 22, so you tend to bounce at that age, don't you?
It mustn't have, yeah.
So then we looked at the bikes. I mean, the equipment he had, the engineering equipment, he makes all his own spare parts. He has, I mean, the bikes had solid tyres.
Yeah.
And he had, I said, how do you get tyres? And again, we had this long tale about manufacturing them and how they get them. And then this company that they used to get them off was taken over by somebody else. So they weren't going to make them anymore, but he had some friends in high places and a few levers were pulled and this firm said they would make some, providing they ordered enough. So
yeah.
He opened this cupboard and he had a cupboard full of rubber for different sized tyres, because
right.
It's all in one length and there's like a spring in the middle of the rubber.
Yes.
And you sort of cut it back and you twist the springs together to put the tyres together.
Right.
The sort of thing like used to be on pram wheels and things like that.
I see, yeah.
And so I had this cupboard full of reels and reels of different widths and different types of rubber. And he also, I found out, he makes his own saddles. I mean, one of the old famous saddles for bikes is saying famous and I've now forgotten the name of it.
But they're made of leather, I suppose.
They're made of leather, yeah. But he also repairs them, but he makes his own as well.
I see.
He's just such a talented guy. So then he said, right, we'll go and have a look at the church. So he took me across to the church, which he had an enormous key with him for getting into to go up the tower.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I made this key. And then he was showing me the vicar's vestry, which he said the lock had never worked. So one day he got permission off the vicar to take this lock apart, and he repaired it and made a new key, and the vicar can now lock his vestry.
I feel secure after all those years.
Yeah. So then we went up the tower, showing me the bells, and I mean, this guy must have been 80.
Yeah.
To get out onto the top of the tower was only a small little hatch that you had to crawl through.
Yeah.
But we got out and we admired the village and then back down again. But what an interesting day I had.
Yeah, I mean, he must be very well known in this village, wasn't he?
Yeah, when we were riding round the village, I said, people must know you in this village. He says, oh yeah, he said, I'm the village idiot. And the day after that, I was there on a Friday, and on the Monday, they were off to Italy on some veteran cycling rally.
Yeah.
But a friend of theirs had hired a van, and they were taking the bikes in the van, and the friend was doing the driving.
Oh, I see. They weren't going to ride all.
They weren't riding
there, no. Not like you would have done.
But he wasn't taking a high wheeler, because he said he finds it difficult now to ride a high wheeler when there's other people around and it's busy, and because he can't get on and off as quick as he used to do.
That sounds quite a performance.
Yeah, it is. It's a different way of cycling altogether.
Yeah.
So I came home then with this 500-page book that weighs nearly 2 kilos, and it's just, it's not the sort of book I'm going to start at the beginning and read to the end.
No.
I just keep dipping in and like reading the exploits of these cyclists. Yeah. What of all road, the high wheeler bikes, they didn't work, they didn't ride safety bikes. I think they hadn't perhaps come in or was just coming in then. One or two I've seen, somebody, one of them's father rode a tricycle, he said.
Oh, right,
yeah. Yeah, and I think a couple of these boys came from Middlesbrough. And there's one or two trips in here where they ride to Middlesbrough.
Good Lord.
And back again, sort of in their Easter holidays or Whitsuntide holidays.
I see.
And it's just, well, it's just a wonderful social history, really.
Yeah, and it is an amazingly produced book, everybody. It's, it, as you say, it's been scanned, so these are like facsimile pages in colour with the original writing and illustrations as well that people have done.
John could tell you about that, one of my favourite illustrations there.
Yeah, it shows they're obviously out camping on one of these trips and they're between two haystacks and they're lying down on the grass with a blanket over the top of them and these bikes propped up at the side of the haystack. And to prove it's night time, the moon's shining as well.
Yeah. There's four people under the blanket.
Four people under one blanket, yeah, economy class.
And they used to do a lot of the riding at night.
Yeah,
because they worked in Leeds. I think they'd left the school and they worked in Leeds. And so because they were working, then they probably worked well 5, 6 o'clock at night in them days. It was 7 and 8 o'clock at night when they were setting off on the rides. And they had oil lamps, so they had to stop when it started going dark. They'd to put the oil in the oil lamps and trim the wicks and get the lights lit. Whether it made any difference, I don't know.
They were not able to see where they were going with lights like that.
So they used to like moonlit nights.
Yeah. Yes, I see, yeah.
And also, the bikes had very primitive gears. They didn't have ball bearings like we have now. They were more like brass bearings.
Yes.
So there's lots of reference to stopping to oil the bearings.
The bearings,
so they had to have oil with them to oil the bearings.
To make sure they didn't have oil in the lamps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were saying also in conversation before something about bugle calls.
Yeah, well, at the beginning there's the rules and regulations of the club and then there's a list of president, captain, vice captain, secretary and bugler. And I thought, well, what's bugler? So I had to go on to the internet and use good old Google and find out that most cycling clubs had buglers and that they were there to they give the instructions, I suppose, based on like military.
Yeah, I see.
And so they had different tunes for different things, like get ready to mount, mount. Ready to ride, ride on, stop, all these things were instructions were given by the bugler.
Before radio communication.
Yeah, before mobile phones.
Yeah. And you were saying there were special bugles, that were sort of small.
Yeah,
version.
From, again, research looking on the internet, that they actually, whereas a normal bugle just has like one turn.
Yeah.
In the bugle, they had special ones with two turns that made them smaller, so they could fit in the pockets.
Yeah, it's more compact.
Yeah, yeah. So yes, it's amazing. I mean, I haven't nowhere near read most of it yet.
I can imagine it was going to take a long time to read that.
And it's in sort of beautiful handwriting.
Yes. Oh yes, it's all
but
handwritten.
At times, you do struggle a bit because they write things in the margin and at the end of lines, if they come to the end of a line, they'll just turn the word over to the next line. So there isn't really like a hyphen there.
It
just carries on the next line.
Yeah.
And then sometimes if there's a picture in the middle, they'll write down the side of it. And sometimes they'll write down one side and then the other side.
Yes.
And other times they'll write across.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Is that Fountain's Abbey I'm looking at there?
Kirkstall Abbey. Right. They did a lot of riding round Kirkstall and yes, that area, yeah. out to Otley. And there's no reference of them coming to Todmorden or Hebden Bridge.
Not surprised,
or, no.
if they're no gears.
No, they got to Shipley and places like that. Right. But then there is a trip out a couple of times I've noticed in the diary. They go to Bassenthwaite Lake in the Lake District.
Oh, what heavens.
And then from Bassenthwaite, they went on to Middlesbrough. This was during one of the holidays, so that they went home to visit family. It's just amazing, this book, and so glad that I saw the article and decided that, yes, I would buy one of these.
So, I mean, I must tell everybody, we're not on commission here, we're not trying to sell this book.
No,
it's just that it just struck my fancy, what an interesting thing came from a chance reading of an article in the paper.
And there's only 100 of these being produced. Yeah. And it wasn't cheap, but it's worth the money, I think, the way it has been produced. And
well, it's been worth it listening to that interesting day out that you had with this remarkable couple.
Yes,
over in Brough,
I mean, the day was nothing like I expected. I just thought I'd go over there and look at this book, pay for it, and have perhaps a cup of tea with them and look at one or two of the old bikes they had, but I didn't realise that they had so many. And he must be one of the top experts on Rover bikes in the world, probably.
Yes, yeah.
And when Elsie said that she bought these diaries, sort of stay in Yorkshire, something else there I'll mention in a minute.
Yeah.
I said, well, what happens when you go? What's going to happen to these diaries then? And he said, well, they had two daughters. And both the daughters were cyclists and rode high-wheeler bikes, so I think they'll be staying in the family. Yeah. In fact, he said that his youngest daughter was the one who taught him how to ride a high-wheeler bike.
Hmm?
He'd not ridden one before. He'd ridden the old Rover-type bikes, the safety bikes.
Right.
And she'd been somewhere and she'd learned how to ride a high-wheeler.
Right.
So she taught him, and that's how he got his interest.
And there's a picture there of somebody actually on one of these high-wheelers.
Yeah, there's a picture there, and the caption is, the noble art of legs over. And what that is, that when they came to a downhill, because they fixed gear, you're having to pedal all the time. And if you're going fast, you can't keep up with the speed of the pedals. So they put their legs over the handlebars, so that they're still holding the handlebars, but they've got the knees over the handlebars, and they just ride them like that, steering with the knees and the hands.
And if you come to a hill, you're just freewheeling down.
Yeah.
And no real way of stopping.
Well, they have a brake, but it's a very basic brake that presses onto the tyre of the wheel. And that's the only way they have of slowing it down. I suppose you use the brake to slow it down, and then you get your legs back over the handlebars and back to the pedals.
Imagine coming across one of those in a cycle lane.
And he said... Tony, the guy, said they were going to Italy on this trip, to this rally, but he wasn't taking a high wheel with him because now he finds it difficult to ride with a lot of people or where it's busy, because it's the getting on and getting off and stopping that makes it difficult when there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And he's also having difficulty now getting, he has to lift his leg onto the step at the back.
Yes.
Before he can
do
sort of get
else.
The bike going.
Yeah,
yeah. But what an amazing couple they were. Yeah.
What an amazing day out.
Yes,
Well, thanks for that, Brian. And I say we're not on any commission. We're not trying to sell this book.
No,
You're obviously getting a terrific amount.
If anybody's interested in it, I can pass on the... contact of Elsie, if they were wanting to buy one.
And people can contact you through me unless you want to divulge your...
That'll be fine, because, I mean, these books are not cheap. I won't tell you what you paid for it, but they're not cheap. No. And you'd have to be an enthusiast, really, to buy one of these.
Okay. Thank you. That's been really interesting. Okay, Brian, thanks a lot for that. And no doubt we should be chatting again later. Thank you.